In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this day in which we commemorate the Holy Hierarch John, let's look at the readings that are typically for a hierarch in the light of his life. We read these readings many, many times throughout the year, so often that perhaps they are common to us, but they're not common at all in the things that they say and the things that we should do. And they definitely describe the life of a holy hierarch. And really, they also should describe the life of a priest. They should describe the life of a mother, of a father. They should describe the life of every Christian. So the Lord says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, the one who entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but goeth up from another place, that one is a thief and a robber." Remember always that Christianity is truth. Because the Lord said, "I am the truth, the resurrection, and the life." There is no life, there is no love without truth. So a hierarch, a priest, a Christian must live and believe the truth. Not just speak of it, but live it. And St. John certainly showed that he lived according to the truth. He was very strict, but also very lenient. It depended on what the situation was. If it was about the faith, he was strict. If it was about a person's struggles, he was lenient. So he says, the Lord continues, "The one who enters by the door is a shepherd to the sheep." This is true for a hierarch. This is true for anyone. If you enter by the door, and the door, of course, the Lord defines later on, is our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we live according to who our Lord Jesus Christ is, then we are entering by the door and we are truly shepherds to the sheep. Now this next line I've always really loved and spoken of quite often. I think it's critical to understand it. It's critical to live so that it becomes actualized in our life. And just going through the doors of the church, knowing some hymns, even saying your morning and evening prayers and fasting does not mean that this verse becomes true in your own life. Our Lord says, "To this one the doorkeeper openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And wherever he should put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." Let's speak historically first. This is absolutely true of St. John. He had sheep that were in Shanghai and China, sheep that were Orthodox, sheep that were not Orthodox, that had been brought into the church, orphans that he had taken care of, that he even bought with vodka, as I told you that story yesterday. And they knew his voice because he was not just a hierarch that served in the church away from them, sort of in the heavens, but he was their friend, their companion, the one who prayed for them in the middle of the night and blessed the places they slept, the one who loved them. We know stories from Bishop Peter that Archbishop John knew a little bit about current events, and he had asked the boys, one of whom was Bishop Peter, who were his servers, about a particular movie, if they wanted to go see it. And he gave them money for a movie. Of course, in those days, movies were quite different than they are now. This was in San Francisco. So St. John knew his flock, and his flock knew him, and he led them forth. He led them to the Philippines, to a place that was dangerous, but safe because of his prayers, to a very dwelling in the Philippines that was destroyed by a typhoon very shortly after they vacated it and had come to the United States. And they followed their shepherd to New York, to San Francisco, to other places. And I want now to speak about how this verse should be actualized in our life. Christianity is about becoming like Christ. It's about being around Christ. Sometimes I look out at the children the very young children, and sometimes not so young, that are around their parents. They want to be by their parents because their parents are their shepherd. And they know the voice of their parents. They know the voice of their shepherd. But in the case especially of some infants, they don't know the voice of someone else, and they're frightened by the voice of someone else. That's a picture of how we should be. Christianity is to be around our Lord, to be in His presence by prayer, by reading of the Scriptures, by an overall state of mind and presence with Him. And if we have that state of mind and presence with Him, then we hear His voice and we recognize it. There's a lot of voices in the world that are saying to be Christ. And they're false. Many false voices speaking for Christianity which have nothing to do with true Christianity. And the way you know their voice versus the voice of Christ is that you are around Christ and you hear His voice. Now, John was always around Christ. He was always in the presence of Christ. Someone said to me, I think it was yesterday, he always lived in the moment. Christ was always with him, as if he was a babe and he was tugging on his mother's skirt or nestled next to his mother. Or as we saw this morning, asleep on her mother's lap. That is being around Christ. And so, it goes on to say, a stranger in no wise will they follow, but they flee from him because they know not the voice of strangers. John's flock, the holy hierarch John's flock, knew him, and they didn't know the voice of strangers. I see more and more as a pastor that Orthodox Christians unfortunately cannot discern between the voice of a stranger and the voice of a shepherd. Part of this is because we have sometimes shepherds who do not go through the door. And so they are wolves, and the people are confused by them. We have shepherds that are not teaching and living according to the gospel, and our people are confused. But part of that is also that the people know very little about Christ. I had an occurrence just recently where I was asked my favorite verse of the scripture, and my grandchildren laughed because I probably have 100 favorite verses. But if I were really pressed, I would say, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And I asked them, who said that? And some of them were confused, didn't even know that our Lord had said it. And then I said, where did he say it? When did he say it? Everyone was confused. Everyone should know that's from the high priestly prayer of our Lord. And that would have been done on Holy Thursday night, just before he was arrested in the garden. If we are always around Christ, we hear his voice, we know his voice, and we know such things as this. Now, I don't care if you can quote the entire passage or not, or even if you know that verse by heart. But if that verse does not resonate in your heart as from your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and does not bring you comfort, then I say to you, frankly, you're not being around Christ enough. Because that should warm your heart just to hear those words. St. John was so successful because he had a flock that loved him because he was always around them. He didn't just serve in the church. He didn't just do paperwork. He was constantly around them. His altar boys knew him well. He took his altar boys with him when he visited hospitals. Probably sometimes much to the chagrin of parents when he might have them home at 2:00 in the morning. or come to a service that was to start at 10 and he showed up at noon because of all the things he was doing. There's a tale once of his altar boys. He left right after liturgy, which was not generally his custom. Usually he'd linger after liturgy and be in the altar, but he left quickly. So his altar boys hadn't even given him, hadn't gotten a blessing from him to disrobe. And he came back like 2 hours later and they were waiting to have the blessing to take off their vestments. Now, I don't think they would have done that with another bishop. They would have just sort of, well, you know, he forgot and everything. But they loved their pastor. He was their shepherd. And so it was easy for them to wait. I want to say one more thing from this reading. Actually, I'm reading mostly from the Orthros right now. But let's read a little bit from what we just read. He says, I am the door, that is the Lord says, I am the door. By me, if anyone should go out, should enter, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Do you know what that means? It's talking about freedom. And with freedom comes boldness. We can tell that St. John was very free because he was very bold. Crazy bold. And that boldness came from his personal freedom, that freedom to go in and out and to find pasture. I saw that picture of pasture and of the freedom to go in and out when I was in camp this week. We went on a hayride, and this area of Texas, basically between Austin and College Station, is green everywhere. There is no spot that is not green or full of water. Last year it was crinkly and dry. It's a fire hazard. Now it is green everywhere. And the cows certainly looked very content because the grass was high and it was sweet, full of protein. It was really a wondrous thing to see how beautiful the countryside was because it was all green. So pasture for an animal like a cow or a sheep, if it's lush, that's the best that they could ever dream for or hope for. We will find pasture if we are always around our Lord. And then we will have complete freedom. And I want to say one thing about freedom, because I think it's very important for us to understand about freedom. Freedom is not that we can do what we want. Freedom is that we can do always what is right. That is true freedom. Because if we do what we want when we are sinful, that will always lead to slavery. And we won't be able to go in and out. We'll just go out. And we'll have trouble getting back in. But if we live with struggles against our passions, we come to a point where there is freedom, where we can do what is right, and there is not this incredible struggle to do what is right. I can think of a couple examples. I've told these to you before, but I think they're important. And they've made a huge impression on my life, so maybe they'll make it on yours. There's a story from Everyday Saints that someone was coming to the monastery, wanted to be a novice, and was all gung-ho and wants to be all obedient and everything. And the pastor, the abbot, sensed sort of something that was not right about this person, something a little off. So he decided, quite incredibly, to tell him to do something that was really outrageous and see if he would be obedient or if he would be smart enough to say, I don't think so. And so he told him, when they were in some courtyard or something, to go over to this monk and to push him to the ground. And so he was going to be obedient and obey his elder. Instead of saying, Elder, You mean push this guy to the ground? Really? No, he was going to be obedient. So he went and pushed the elder down. And the elder, after getting up, scrambled to his feet and immediately did a prostration and said, "Forgive me." That's freedom. That's incredible freedom. What would we do? I don't think we'd say, "Forgive me." I think we'd get up with white fists and anger. Maybe we wouldn't get in a fight, but we certainly would be angry. And he got up and said, "Forgive me." And I'll close with this, my favorite monastic story. You guys have heard it 1,000 times, but I think it's one of the greatest stories I've ever heard. Two monks were walking to the city. One was young, one was old. They were going to sell their baskets. And on the way to the city, leaving the city, was a prostitute. And the young monk took his cowl and wrapped up his head so he could barely see, just little slits for eyes, and looked away. He didn't want to look upon her so that he would not be tempted by a loose woman. The older monk stopped, spoke to her, smiled, had a little conversation, and they went on their way. And as they were going, the younger monk was judging his father, thinking, he looked right at her. He must not be as holy as I thought he was. And so the older monk says, "My son, who did we just encounter on the way?" And he said, "Well, father, you know, that was a prostitute that we just saw." And he says, "Oh, really? I myself did not know whether it was a man or a woman." You understand the story? You understand the freedom? He was so passionless. He could look upon a woman without attempting not to lust, just not lusting. There was no struggle in him to not lust. He had perfect freedom. And that freedom allowed him to speak with her, not to shun her, and perhaps it would be for her salvation. Now, both monks were correct. The younger one was correct to guard himself from her, and the older monk was correct to speak to her because of his freedom. St. John had that kind of freedom. We can have that kind of freedom. If you're not trying to have that kind of freedom, then you're not following the Christianity that I know. Because that should be the whole point. To be free. Completely free of your passions. St. John was. And it made him bold. And we're not. And that's why we're anxious and lazy and confused. So let us look to St. John to help us to become bold and to become free. God bless you.